out of the abundance of the mouth, the heart flows, right? What's in your heart comes out your mouth. You can't be empowered to prosper talking defeat. The two don't go together. We need the body of Christ to rise up and walk into the power that God says belong to us.
Romans chapter 8, verse 37 states, "No, in all things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us." God has equipped us with everything necessary to overcome any test or trial that may come our way. We must simply believe and have faith in His Word. Sister Rurika McCray, message entitled, "We Are Empowered to Prosper," will help explain how this can be accomplished. Come, let's join her as she explains.
Amen. How are you guys doing today? Are you good? All right. I don't know about you, but this morning I woke up and I said I was glad when they said unto me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." And so today I'm going to come to you and I'm going to minister on you are empowered to prosper. And God has been dealing with me and He laid that on my heart about some things that I've been seeing in the community and things that I've been seeing at church. And so He's been dealing with me, so I'm going to share with you what He's been dealing with me with. And so I pray that you've come expecting. I pray that you're come expecting to receive from God. And I pray that you're not looking at the messenger, but you're listening to the message. Because I'm just a vessel that God is going to use today. And a lot of times we get caught up in the messenger, but you miss the message. And so we're just going to go before God. I'm going to pray. And then we're just going to let God have His way, because it's not even about me, it's about the Father. And so we're just going to pray and just welcome God in here. You know, sometimes we also get caught up in who's here and the numbers. And, you know, God's not moved by numbers. He said, "Where two or three come together in His name, He's here in the midst." And so we believe that who God brought here is who God wants to receive today. And so we're just going to give God praise for who He is. And I'm just going to pray and we're going to get into the Word. Father, I thank You as I always thank You. I thank You for waking every one of us up this morning that's here. I thank You for bringing everyone here safely, Lord God. Father, I ask that You bless the people that You drew here today, Lord God. I'm asking that every heart be open to receive. I'm open that every spiritual ear is open to hear, Lord God. And I'm praying that every heart is open to receive what You're speaking today to Your people, Lord God. And Father, I take authority, the authority that You have already given me, Lord God, over every distractive spirit, Lord God, over every mind-blinding spirit, over every spirit of confusion, over every spirit that tries to come in here and try to exalt itself above the knowledge of God. I take authority in the name of Jesus. And Father, we welcome You to come in here. We ask You to have Your way, Lord God. We ask You to be in the midst of this message, Lord God. I decrease that You increase, Lord God, and I ask You to pull up and bring up everything and anything necessary out of me, Lord God, to speak to Your people today, Lord God. I'm just a vessel that You can use and for You to have Your way. And it's in the name that is above every name. It is the name where knees bow. It is the name where tongues confess. It is the name where You're sitting at the right hand of the Father. It is the name of Jesus that I give all praise and all glory to. And Father, I thank You, Lord God. We thank You, we thank You, we thank You, Lord. Thank You, Father. Lord, we give You praise. I don't know about you, but I always get excited about the Lord. When I think about Him, when I read His Word, when I know that I'm coming into the house of God, I'm always excited because He's good. He didn't have to wake us up this morning, but He did. The very breath that we breathe is not even our own. If He snatched it from us today, we'd be gone. So we're just grateful to God. Grateful, grateful, grateful to God. And so I want to just talk about we're empowered to prosper. And I'm just going to go back and I'm going to go back to the basics. A few weeks ago, Holy Spirit was dealing with me on some things and was telling me when I first came to Christ, I used to have a paperback Bible. I mean, I would go and I would come to church and I would highlight and I would read the scriptures and, you know, I would just study the Word of God. And now we have technology. I mean, we have iPads. I got mine right here. We have cell phones. We have so many other gadgets and things. And there's nothing wrong with those because if the Word of God comes for, it doesn't matter what communication you use. But God just dealt with me because when I had my Bible, it was so personable to me. I can touch it. I can open the pages. I can scroll through it. You know, I cried in it. You know, I held it up. I went to it. It's the Word of God. And so Holy Spirit dealt with me. And he said, you know, you used to always hold this Bible and read it. And nothing wrong with your iPad, but I need you to get back to the foundation. You know, where you begin, because sometimes, you know, we forget about where we've been, you know, where we came from and what God's done for us, right? And so I had to go back to the foundation because, you know, when a house is built, if it's built on a foundation that's firm, it won't fall, right? And sometimes when you go through storms and trials and tribulations, you can see some of the bruises on the house, right? Some of the paint's chipped off. The house has been through some stuff. But then if you go back and look, you realize the foundation is still intact. And that's what God was telling me. The foundation is still intact, but I need you to go back to the foundation of which it was built. Grab this Bible. So I went out and I purchased a Bible. I went back and I had some old Bibles. They're all written in and highlighted. So I went back and I grabbed the Bible. And I said, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? And when I used to go to church in my church home in Anchorage, my pastor is Pastor Ken Friendly in Anchorage, Alaska. And we've been members there since we were probably 21 years old. We got saved. We started serving. And we used to go to church. And, you know, we still serve there. We still, you know, that's still our pastor. But when we used to go there, he used to have us hold up our Bibles. And we used to have a confession with the Bible. And we used to say some things with the Bible. So I'm going to, you know, if you have a Bible, if you have your iPhone or your iPads or something, we're going to do a confession because, you know, the Word of God is living and it's powerful. And in Hebrews, it talks about it's sharper than any two-edged sword, right? It can pierce to the division of bone or marrow. It is a discerner of the intent of the heart. So the Word of God is alive. This is our Word, right? This is our food. This is how we survive. And so we're going to take the Bible and we're going to make a confession because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And so we're going to hold up our Bibles and we're going to say a confession that I used to say all the time. And now I'm going to go back to saying it because Holy Spirit reminded me of the foundation of which it was built, this house that I'm standing on, this temple that he has blessed me. So we're going to, you got your Bibles? Everybody got yours held up? All right. All right. Say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do everything it says I can do. I have what it says I have. I am a believer and not a doubter. I am a doer and not just a hearer. And my life is already better after having heard and applying this word of faith. Amen. This is our Bible, right? This is the bread of life. We're talking about we are empowered to prosper, right? You can't prosper without knowing that this is your source, right? You can't prosper without knowing who you are, and you can't prosper without knowing what God said you can do, right? So this is our Bible. So I'm going to talk about, we're going to get into some scriptures, but I want to give you just a few things that I went through and I was reading, took a few notes, and let's see. Once you accept Christ into your life, and give him permission to be Lord over your life, then you have given power and authority, then you're already given power and authority to prosper in life and in the things of God. It's just that simple. Once you accept Christ, right? Bible talks about if you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, you're saved, right? It's that simple. And when you do that, you're already empowered to prosper. Once Christ come in you, you're already empowered to prosper. Amen? Okay, so you are immediately power. Christ comes in, old man dies, behold, you become a new creation. That's in 2 Corinthians 5:17, where it talks about there, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Creation and all things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. So once you accept Christ, you're already automatically you're empowered. And sometimes I don't believe us as Christians believe the power that we have working inside of us once we accept Christ into our hearts. If you think about it, sometimes we walk around like we're just defeated. We walk around and we give the enemy more power than we give our God. You know, we're always talking about how busy the devil is, and we're giving him some glory. We're giving him acknowledgement, but you rarely hear in the midst of a storm how we're giving God the praise and giving God the glory. You know, sometimes we need to take our situations, actually all the time, and put it up against our God. And is that situation bigger than our God? Can he handle all things? Amen, he can. When Christ comes in, then change comes. Change takes doing or a process. Change means to make or become different. Christ comes in, change comes. Christ comes in, change comes. Christ comes in, and then change comes. You know, not automatically, right? We don't see the fruit of it automatically, but the word says Christ comes, old man dies, we become new. New in Christ. New in Christ. And so when you become new in Christ, you know, change comes, and you're just a process waiting to develop into what you need to become. You know, I was looking at a seed, and we're going to talk about the seed. In the seed is everything that that seed needs to become what it's supposed to be, right? But it doesn't look like it looking at a seed, right? You take the seed, it's small, it could be an apple or a plant or whatever, but inside of that seed is all the unit that it needs to be reproduced, to become what it needs to be. It's the same thing with us when Christ comes inside of us. God sees us already the way that he designed and purposed us to be. Inside of us when he comes is everything we need to become who he designed us to be. We're just waiting to produce the fruit of what God says that we are, right? Amen. So you take the seed and you plant the seed into the ground and you put it into good soil. And then you wait, you know, because there's a process that takes place. You water the seed, the sun comes out and takes care of it, and then it becomes what it was supposed to be done if it's planted in the right soil, right? Well, the same is with us as Christians. When we accept Christ, change takes place, and we have to be planted in a good ground in order for us to produce what God said is already on the inside of us. You know, when Christ comes, change comes, which means that we can't go to the club and drop it like it's hot and scrape it to the ground and pick it up like we used to, because Christ has come and change is supposed to take place. When Christ comes, we can't hang out in the same environment or people that we used to hang out in, because we need to be in a good ground so change can take place. And sometimes a lot, when we get saved, we think we can continue to do the things that we used to do and be in the environment that we used to be in and get the fruit that we're supposed to get from Christ. It doesn't work that way. You have to be in a place where you are being in good ground so you can receive and develop what Christ said is already on the inside of you. Amen? All right. Y'all looking at me like y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. Some change. Amen. So we're talking about we are empowered to prosper. Prosper in the things of God. Prosper in life. There's no reason why a Christian should walk around defeated. There's no reason why a Christian should walk around hopeless. There is no reason why a Christian should walk around like they don't know what to do in life, because Christ comes in and Christ is hope of glory. When he comes in, change takes place. The Bible talks about in James 1:22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only. James said, deceiving yourselves. So you can't just go to church or go to conferences and watch people on TV and never do the word. You can't just be hearing the word and never doing the word.
And you can't just always be in doing and never hearing, because you can be doing a whole lot of things and not getting what you're supposed to get. I mean, if you look at Mary and Martha, you know, one was laying at his feet and the other one's just doing. And what was needful was what Mary was doing. Martha was so busy complaining and doing other stuff. So you can't just be doing and never hearing. The two have to go together. So you have to be hearers and doers in order to see the fruit work in your life. We're talking about empowered to prosper. Christians are never in a hopeless situation. We are already empowered when we accept Christ. We're able to do everything the Word of God says that we can do. We just said it, right? We're able to do everything the Word says that we can do. And see, we as people of microwavable generation, we want stuff to be automatic, right? How long was Jesus' ministry? It wasn't automatic, right? 30 years, right? 33 years? Yes. Jesus' ministry, right? But he didn't just come up and wake up and start preaching the gospel, right? There was a process that took place. When you get saved, there's a process that takes place, right? The process that takes place. You don't just get saved and then everything is all hunky. How many of y'all are saved in here? Who all saved? Right? Save, accepted Christ. When you got saved, how you felt? You felt good, right? But when you got home, what happened? Same old problems, right? Same old problems, same old devil waiting on you, right? So, but there was a process that had to take place. And I think that what happens is we forget to tell people that there's a process. We forget to tell people you're going to go through some things. We forget to tell people that there's an adversary that wants to come and steal, kill, and destroy. We forget to tell people you're going to feel the same way you felt the day before. We forget to explain to people that there's a process. We make people think that, yeah, you didn't got saved. Oh, all life is good. That's not true. Me and my husband used to always joke. I felt like I had less problems when I was sinning when I got saved. I was like, Lord, I ain't have all these demons. Or where they come from? You know, when I was in the world just kicking it, feel like life was good. And now I'm saved. What in the world's going on? But we realize there's a process. See, when I was in the world serving God and the world not living for God, the enemy didn't have no reason to mess with me. Right? He didn't have no reason to mess with me. Why he gonna mess with somebody that he's already got blinded and confused, right? And so the enemy only messes with those that he knows the word. Why did he tip Jesus? Because he knew the power that was working in him. And if he can come and snatch the power of the word out of you, he know that you're defeated. So if the enemy's messing with you, James says to count it all joy. Glory to God. Count it all joy because you have something that he's trying to get. And so don't get back down or feel defeated because the enemy's messing with you, messing with your finances, messing with your children, messing with your husband, messing with your health. Don't get all upset because he's messing with you. Just know that you are empowered to prosper. That you are empowered to prosper. And I said this before, when I was in the world, I used to fight. I fight in a minute. You roll up on me, I'm going to fight. And you know what? She's like, yeah, you know what? The same tenacity that I had then, I got it even worse now. You roll up in my house, I'm going to fight. Because sometimes we just get so defeated. We look for who we can call. We look for who can lay hands on us. Lay hands on yourself. Call on the Lord for yourself, because he said that we're empowered to prosper. We are empowered to prosper. We are empowered to prosper. This is one of my good scriptures here where Paul was talking to Ephesians, the Ephesus church. He was actually encouraging them in the things of God. Paul was reminding them who they were and what God had already predestined for them before the foundation of the world. Salvation was already predestined for them. Grace was for them. Mercy for them. Joy and happiness was already for them. And that's the same thing that we're saying today to the body of Christ, that it was already ready for us. God, best for us is that we walk in divine health and healing. He wants us to walk in the power that he says available to us, because he needs us. We are the arms and feet of Jesus in the earth. And we need to take our stand and understand that this scripture is so powerful. It's in Ephesians 1, 19 through 20. Paul is talking. He was encouraging the Christian. He was encouraging the body of Christ, just like he's encouraging us today. He said, and so that you will begin to know what the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of his active spiritual power is in us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of his mighty strength, which he produced in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places. Paul saying, I'm reminding you the same power that I used when I went to the cross, raised my son up, I have put inside of you. He said that same power that rose Jesus from the dead lives in us, those that are in Christ. The same power. The same power. The same power. Glory to God. If nothing else gets you excited, you know the same power lives on the inside of us. We are empowered to prosper as believers. As believers. We are empowered to prosper as believers. Paul's reminding them. He said the same power. That same power that rose Christ from the dead. Death couldn't hold him. The grave couldn't keep him. The same power. How are you helpless? How are you hopeless? How are you defeated? Glory to God. Glory to God. The same power, Paul said. I'm reminding you, you're not defeated. Hold that problem up against your Lord and tell the devil, hey, that same power that beat you lives in me, and you better get up off my stuff. Yes, the same power. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. The same power. The same power that raised my Savior. I can't even comprehend that power. It's all of who God is that was exerted in Christ. Everything he was, he put in Christ to raise him up. And it lives in you and me. It lives in you and me. He took all of who he was and he put it in Christ and he rose him up. And he said, now it lives in you and it lives in me. Glory to God. Glory to God! Glory to God! Glory! Glory! Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. And that's why we praise him. And that's why we thank him. And that's why we glorify him. And that's why we lift him up. And that's why we serve him. And that's why we bow down and say, Abba, Father. That's why. Because he gave us the same power. He equipped us for this walk of faith. He told us we can do all things through Christ who strengthened us. That's why he said, if I'm for you, who and what can rise up and be against you? If I'm standing for you, who and what can rise up and be against you? Because that same power, thank you, Lord. Whatever we are facing is not bigger than our God. Depression's not, oppression's not. Lack, worry, insufficiency. That is nothing, because when Christ came in, change came, and all of that things must bow to the name of Jesus. All of that must bow down to the name of Jesus. What are you saying in your homes? What are you saying when you're not at church? Out of the abundance of the mouth, the heart flows. Right? what's in your heart comes out your mouth. You can't be empowered to prosper talking defeat. The two don't go together. We need the body of Christ to rise up and walk into the power that God says belongs to us. We're cowering down to every situation that rises up. We're complaining and murmuring like the children of Israel. He told them, he said, man cannot live off of bread alone. He shall live out of every word that comes out of my mouth. He said, you're not even living unless you're saying what I'm saying. You're not even living unless you're speaking his word. He said, you shall live out of every word that comes out of my mouth. So what are we saying? When we're not in front of people, we can get the church and be so spiritual. We can say the right things and people think we're so spiritual. But there's a form of God and no God in you. God is telling us we're empowered to prosper. We are the arms and feet of Jesus in the earth. We need to take what belongs to us. I don't care how many scriptures you can quote. Quoting scriptures don't move God. Faith moves God. Faith moves God. You can quote a lot of scriptures and there is no power in those scriptures. The enemy knows who to mess with. You need to equip yourself with the word of God. Paul said the same power. Glory to God. Thank God for his word. Thank God that he's given us his word. Thank God that he's given us this word by faith for us to receive it. If we don't partake of this word, if we're not speaking the word daily, we're dying. We're dying a spiritual death. We're not dying. We're going to die physically. Everybody knows that's going to take place. But we're dying spiritually if we're not saying and doing what the word tells us to do. It's time for us to rise up. It's time for us to take our rightful place. It's time for us to walk in the divine power that God says is available to us. It's time for us to speak the word, declare and decree the word over our lives, over our children's lives, over our families, over our household. It's time. You know, I grew up not in church, but God knew exactly when to get a hold of me. And I've been hearing, even when I was little, wasn't in church, these are the last days. Well, you know what? These are the last days. And if you're just sitting back saying these are the last days, but not doing anything about it, you know, on that day, when I go before the Father, all I want to hear him say is, well, good, that good and faithful servant, for you have served me. You have served me. I'm not backing down to the enemy. I'm not backing down to anything. You don't back down to sickness. You don't back down to bill collectors. You don't back down to your husband or your wife acting up and cutting up. You don't back down to your children acting up. No, you take the word of God because he says that man shall live by this. This is the bread of life. You go and find the scripture that you need. I went and got me a book a long time ago. It's a quick reference book because, you know, the Bible is a lot of information. And I got a topic of what I needed. And I went and grabbed that word. I went to the Bible and I stood on the word of God. I just said the word. I stood on it. I walked it. I talked it. I breathed it. I meditated it. I said it every single day. I'm driving in my car. I'm at my desk. Wherever I'm at, I'm speaking that word because I needed that seed to become life, to produce the fruit that I'm looking for. Children acting right. Husband acting right, finances lining up, my health is right. That is how you are empowered to prosper. God has done everything he's going to do. Some of y'all waiting for him to do something else. He's done. Jesus is at the right hand interceding for you. He's done. Everything you need is in that other realm. It's in that other realm. See, we are a three-part being, and sometimes we forget we're in this world, but we're not of this world. We have a soulish realm, we have a spiritual realm, and everything in the mind is in the soulish realm, and everything in the spirit is in the spiritual realm. That's why the Lord's Prayer said, "Thy kingdom, His will be done as it already in heaven," right? Because everything is already done in the spiritual realm. All we have to do is get it in the now and wait for the manifestation. See, some of you guys trying to recreate some stuff, it's already done. It's already done. It's already done. We are already in power to prosper. You know, it's a good thing we have pastor, but he don't always got to lay hands on you. Lay hands on yourself, because you're in power to prosper. Speak over your own life. Speak over your own situation. You, the same thing that's in pastor is in you and you, you and in me. It's in me too, right? It's in me too. So you're not defeated. You're not helpless. You have the same power. If you don't get no other revelation, my God, that power that raised Christ, I can shout and run about it. It is a power that can't even be compared, and it lives in me. It's available to me. I'm so grateful that God made it available for me. He made it available for me, and so I can walk in that divine power and know everything don't always seem right. Know the chips don't always fall in the right places, but I will keep saying what His word says. When you run up against a brick wall, you can go right through it, right? You can go right through it. You can do all things. What's holding you back? God said that the road that He made for us is straight, right? You ain't supposed to be going around no curves. Now, there may be some bumps on that road, but everything that He laid out for you is already there. It's already provided for you. You just have, sometimes we see a hole in the road, we want to go around. No, you just keep on going by faith in God. He always make a way out of no way. We have to know who we are in Christ. We have to know who we are in Christ. When you leave here, you should be strengthened. You should know I can do anything. There's nothing too hard for God. God told Jeremiah, He said, "I'm the God of all flesh. There is nothing too hard for me. I am the God of all flesh." My God, I get excited when I hear His word, when I read it, and just know who He is. He's so powerful. He's so powerful. He's so awesome. He's so great. I mean, He's so good. He's so loving. How could you not serve a God like that? How could you not serve a God like that? And to just think He cares so much about us that He gave us His power to do things. He loves us so much. He didn't leave us defeated. He didn't leave us in a helpless situation. He equipped us. He equipped us. He gave us all the tools we need. He already designed us to be successful. Paul said He predestined this before the foundations of the world. He knew what was going to happen, so He made provision. He already had a plan when all of the stuff took place. That's how good He is. So your issues didn't catch Him by surprise. He wants you to rise up and take authority. The Bible talks about, let's go to the one scripture, because I done got all over the place, I tell you. I didn't even read half of what I wrote down, but you know what? Let the Lord do what He needs to do. Let the Lord do what He needs to do. In Luke 10:19, He says, "Listen carefully. I have given you authority that you now possess to tread on serpents and scorpions, and the ability to exercise authority over all the power of the enemy, Satan. And nothing will in any way harm you." Nothing in any way will harm you. He said, "I have already given you the power." So you just got to remind the devil when he rises up where his place is. It's under your feet. It's under your feet. When he's messing with your children, you remind him. You don't call up 10 family members. You don't call and get on the phone, because you're wasting time. You take authority over that situation. when your wife is or your husband's and things are going shaky, and Pastor talked about last week, don't give up. Well, how do you know not to give up if you don't know the power you have to not give up? If you don't know that you have the power to not give up, you give up. So he talked about marriages and not giving up. Well, you have the power to not give up because that's in you. I mean, what would have happened if Christ gave up right before he got to the cross? Jesus, help us all, right? He didn't give up. And because he didn't give up when he could have gave up and when he wanted to give up, we have the power to not give up, right? We have the power to not give up. And we have the power to not sin. Sometimes people go, oh, I slipped in. You ain't slipped in nothing. You made a choice to do that. He's given us the power to even keep us from sinning. That is how powerful Christ is. When the issues of life and when our flesh lures us off, we have the power to pull back and sustain because Christ lives inside of us. And so when you're having problems and things are not working at home, you lay hands and you speak and declare the word of God because that's the power that we have working inside of us. Glory to God. I'm going to get ready and close it up here because I didn't got all off my notes and my time, but God is so good. And my prayer was just that I would pour out what God had me to say. And that we, even myself, I'm encouraging myself every single day in the things of God. That's why Holy Ghost made me go back and get the Bible to remember the foundation in which I came and what I stood on and what I believed in God. You know, we can never, I don't care how long you've been serving God. I don't care how old you are in the ministry. You can never get to a place where you think you don't need God or you know so much word you don't need him. You have to go back. I had to go back and remember what he did for me, confessing those words over again, trusting God, because storms come to us all, and we're all going to have an evil day where we don't even know what happened. Things are going to come in, but we have been equipped to fight the good fight of faith. There is nothing that we as believers can't get through in him. We are empowered to prosper, and here are some things that I just wrote down. You know, for you to walk in your empowerment, accept Christ into your heart because that's the first step. You can't be empowered without Christ. If you're backslidden or if you just need to repent, meaning make a conscious decision to Christ to turn from that sin and live for him, then we need to make the adjustments to do what we need to do. We can't worry about what people saying or what people thinking. They thinking and saying it anyways. It don't really matter. We have to develop the mindset of a winner, meaning that you win no matter what, even if it looks like you're losing. Your mind says, I am winning. You know, my pastor used to always say at football games, cheerleaders wasn't doing good for them, but cheering you on, even when you're losing, they cheer you. Go fight, win. You winning. You ain't even winning. You losing. But if you have that mindset to be your own cheerleader, as Paul said, I have encouraged myself in the Lord, you are always winning. Because winners never lose and quitters never win. Recognize that you have an adversary who wants to kill, steal, and destroy you. Recognize it. You got to know that somebody's out there to get you. You got to know that there's going to be attacks and persecutions and trials and tribulations. All you do is recognize, not give him glory. You recognize, but then you give glory to him who is with you, the one that has empowered you to help you prosper and overcome and conquer every situation you are faced. That's where your glory belongs to. And then be consistent in your faith walk with Christ. Don't give up. Don't give up, because the word of God tells us in Galatians 6:9, to let us not grow weary or become discouraged in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap if we do not give up. We will reap if we do not give up. And that's all I have for you today. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yeah, hallelujah. Glory to God. We're just going to open up for prayer if anyone need prayer or You never want to leave the place and not know if everybody's right with God. We always want to open an invitation for salvation. We want to open an invitation for repentance. If you need to get it right with God, if you need to turn from whatever situation you were in that wasn't pleasing to God to make it right with God, we welcome you to come up here so we can pray for you, so we can lift you up before the Father, so we can cover you, pray for you. If there's anyone in here today where you want to get your life right with Christ, come on up. And if there's anyone in here that wants to be saved, you've never confessed the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we open that awesome, awesome invitation to you. All of heaven rejoices even if one sinner comes to Christ. We open that up to you if anyone want to come up and be saved. If I can pray for anybody's marriage in here today, come up here. I would love to pray for you. Pray for your marriage. Pray for your household. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Lord, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord.
I want to thank you for taking time to listen to this message. Know that God loves and cares for you deeply. You know, we all have struggles in our life, tough times, and much more. But God is about to do great things in your life. Remember the scripture found in Galatians 6:9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. It's your season for breakthrough. Don't give up. Don't stop. Trust God to bring you through. God bless you.
I would like to take a time to thank all listeners of the Lily Kojic Podcast. I pray that you or someone close to you was truly blessed by the messages that we bring to you weekly. As we go forward, we ask that you share the podcast with as many people as possible. 1 Corinthians 3:7 states, "So neither is he that plants anything, neither is he that waters, but God gives the increase." Our goal is to expand this ministry to reach more people with the good news of the gospel. You can help us achieve that goal by supporting us with a donation of any amount. We have a donation button located on our podcast page that allows you to support this ministry. Thank you, and God bless.